Good to see everybody this morning, and I'd like to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing our trek through Colossians, everyone. They'll adjust the mic here. I'm using actually a new microphone than I have in the past, and so they've got to get it all set up there. But so good to see everybody. I hope that you were able to come to Bible Fellowship today. We've just kicked off the Bible Fellowship. And we're so excited about that. So good to see so many of you. And I hope that we'll just have a great time in God's Word today. I thank Jana for that testimony. And God really worked through that family. And it's just a marvelous thing when you hear a testimony like that where people on the outside looking in, they're just touched by the power of God and the grace of God flowing through people. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And I can testify to it. It happened to me when I was working in the factory, and God began to grab a hold of my heart, and I saw it. I saw it in the lives and the spirits of the men that worked around me. It just blew me away to see grown men singing hymns and praising God. It just blew me away. All right, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start with verse 12. We're going to read through verse 17. And as you know, the last time that we studied, 3 weeks ago it was, because we had our Good Friday service, we had our Easter service, and now we're back to Colossians. You'll remember, just for a little context here, the issue that we talked about the last time we were in Colossians was that, hey, we're new people in Christ. Take off those smelly clothes you're wearing. In other words, the old ways, the old lifestyle, the old bad habits that you had. Get those things off like they're on fire. And now we're talking about, let's put on the clothes that God wants us to wear. And I put quotes around the word clothes. It's not literal clothing. These are character qualities. These are the things that God wants us to do. So God's being very clear. Last time, here are the things I don't want to see in your life. And now God says, here are the things I want to see in your lives, in your church, especially in your church, but everywhere you go. So that's why we see the therefore there. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect, the chosen of God, you've been chosen, you know that. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Think about that. Before the entire earth and the universe was created, he was already thinking about you. He had you on his mind. As the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on. See, here's the new clothes that we need to wear. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also, I'm sorry, I was supposed to change that. Thank you. No, I did. I guess I did. Hang on, go back. Okay, I just jumped ahead. Down there on the bottom. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Oh, I must have left some stuff off here. Okay, I left verse 15 off, so just listen. I'm throwing myself for a loop here. Verse 15, and then we'll get with verse 16. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, there's a lot of plural pronouns here. So when he's saying let the peace of God rule in your hearts, he's saying in Texas, let the peace of God rule in y'all's heart. He's talking to a church here. Church, put on these things. We need this between one another. Let the peace of God rule in y'all's hearts, to which y'all were also called in one body, and be thankful. Now verse 16 here on the screen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All right, I'm going to go back 10 years. 10 years ago, a man was standing on the side of the street in Ohio, okay, Cleveland, Ohio. His name, Ted Williams. Okay, Ted Williams. Oop, we're not ready for that yet. Hold on. I guess we lost the first. We're having trouble today. We lost the first slide there, which was the picture of Ted Williams, but we'll see him in a second here. Okay, he's struggling with drugs. He's struggling with alcohol. But you know what happened? 10 years ago on the streets of Cleveland, he remembered something he had forgotten. He remembered something he had forgotten. He remembered that he had a God-given ability that could be very valuable to him. And in spite of the fact that his clothes were old, his teeth were not in good shape at all, and because in spite of the fact that his hair was, you know, just disheveled and just needed a good shampooing and cut and all that, hey, let's lay those things aside. He's on drugs and he's struggling. He's an alcoholic. But you know what? He remembered that God had given him amazing ability. And he still had this ability even though his life was falling apart, everything around him, okay? Now, I want you to see how a turnaround in his life began. I want you to watch this. It's just a little over a minute, but this is really, really good to see. This video was the beginning of a change in his life. Can we have that video, Brother Robert?
There are often his handwritten sign says he has the God-given gift of a great voice.
I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of all things, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much. Well, when I was 14 years old, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. When I was 14, I kind of listened to one of our area radio announcers. And I went as a field trip to go meet the guy, and he looked nothing like what he sounded like. So I asked him about that, and he said to me, listen, radio is defined theater of mind. And so when he said theater of mind, I just said, hey, I can't be an actor, I can't be on my personality. The voice just became something of a developmental year going to school for it. And then alcohol and drug and a few other things became a part of my life. I have 2 years clean, and I'm trying hard to get it back. Hopefully somebody from one of these television radios say, hey, you know, I need voiceovers, or I need something. So, you know, I'm hoping one day, watch Family Guy, weeknights at 7:30 or Fox 28.
Isn't that amazing? It's been it's amazing. 10 years ago, I showed you that very video, and I've got good news about Ted Williams and what's happening in his life. But you know what happened? That video went out, and of course, it got on the internet. It went viral. It went all over the country. And then within a day or two, every morning talk show wanted to have him on their talk show. They wanted Ted Williams, not the baseball player. He was already dead. But the Ted Williams with the amazing, man, I had, you know, with my voice, you could just tell I'm a Yankee and I'm up there. Okay, anyway, I wish I had a voice. I just don't have it. It's just not there. All right. So anyway, one moment he's out on the streets. He's struggling. He's having trouble. In the next moment, he's got a haircut, he's got a brand new teeth on the top, he has all these implants put in, he gets a haircut, they put new clothes on him, and he was given a new status because he got jobs. He started to make good money because that voice is priceless. And one after another, boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, everything. And you know what Ted Williams did? Ted Williams not only went on all these talk shows and showed off that voice, but he began to earn a great living, and then guess what? He's paying it back. I love this. You know what Ted Williams Since 2011, he's been going to homeless shelters and feeding homeless people in his spare time. I love that story because he said, you know, I was in your shoes and I've been delivered out of that. I've been given a new status, and not only a new status as a voiceover expert. That's his new status. I'm not a homeless man anymore. I'm a professional voiceover artist. He not only has that, but then even his persona began to change. And even today, he looks a lot older now because his hair is all gray now. But I saw him on the internet talking and interacting, and his voice still sounds good. He's 10 years older now. Still looks so sharp, all dressed up, looking good. And you know what? His life pictures what the Apostle Paul's talking about in this passage, because he keeps telling you and I, hey, you all need to put on things that go with your real status. You're not a lost sinner anymore. You're not a homeless person spiritually wandering around with a cardboard card saying, please, somebody help me. No, you are in Christ. Jesus is your Savior. He's forgiven your sins. He's written your name down in heaven. And now you've got a new status. You are a child of God Almighty. You are a child. And you know what? I want you to act like a child of God. I want you to, quote unquote, dress like a child of God. All right? Once you've been given a new status, you need to look the part and you need to act the part. And by the way, I'm not talking about here. We're talking about spiritual clothing, okay? And, you know, I know in our days, a lot of times, people aren't real modest and things like that. But really, this clothing Paul's telling us to put on, this new look that he wants us to have, has to do with the way that we treat one another, not only as the body of Jesus, but when we leave these doors, there should be something different. Just like that Dr. Jana talked about, saw something different in the mom and dad who were losing their baby and then eventually lost him. Well, they didn't lose him. I love what they wrote on Facebook. The mom wrote, my Wesley just took his first breath because he had lung issues. And she said, he's taken his first breaths on the streets of heaven with the Lord Jesus. And I mean, the parents were just amazing testimonies to the Lord Jesus. See, they had put on these things. Because of that, because they put on these things that God wanted them to wear spiritually and in their lives, they impacted others. So the last time we talked about Colossians, God says, out with the bad. Out with the bad. Okay? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, which is idolatry. He goes down that list. All these things. Get them off of you. Take those off. Take those rotten clothes off. They stink. And now, today, he says to you, in with the good. Out with the bad. Now in with the good. Let's pray together. Father, use this in all of our lives. Help us to see those qualities, Lord, that you want us to wear as your children. And Father, I pray that if maybe people are doing well with most of these, but maybe just one of them or two of them they're just really struggling with, I just pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts and that, Lord, changes will be made, that people will turn away from these things and with your power be victorious over them. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You know what? One of the stories that I really love, and I wish I had a picture to put on the screen, but I just could not find one. But I know I've seen this in videos. I looked and looked and looked. I probably spent 25 minutes looking for one, but I just couldn't find one. But have you ever been watching like a race where they're having, for special needs kids, they have the Olympics for them, right? The intellectually disabled. And those children are very special. And let's say they're running the 100-yard dash. I've seen in days gone by where they're all out there running, and one of the guys that's running, he gets his feet crossed before he crosses the finish line, and he just takes the worst tumble and he falls and he's rolling around. But guess what happens? In the Olympics for the intellectually disabled, what you do not see is 10 people buzz by that guy laying on the ground and running to get the gold and the silver and the bronze. They're not interested in that at all. They just saw one of their own fall and hurt himself and need help. And so what you see is every single runner runs over to him, dusts him off, helps him up, and then they put their arms around one another and they all cross the finish line together. How many of you have ever seen something like that? It's just so heartwarming. You're just like, oh my goodness. If only the world was like that, if we only cared for one another like that. But even though they were individual runners with hopes of getting a medal, something was more important to them, and they just knew it intuitively. And that is what we see in our text today. And I want you to notice, I'm going to go real like rapid fire here initially. I want you to see how many times this idea of being part of the same family, God's family, stands out. Okay, first we're going to show you verse 12 here. Okay, verse 12. Okay, notice, we're a family. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, okay, we're the chosen. We are holy. We've been set apart. Holy means sanctified, set apart for God's use. We're holy. When we got saved, he made us holy. Now, our position is we're holy. Now, our practice sometimes is not holy, but in our position, we are the chosen of God, we are holy and set apart, and we are beloved. We are the beloved of God. Hey, anybody here today? Do you feel like maybe that God doesn't love you? Well, I'm here to tell you, he loves you and that you matter to him. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, if you're his child, you're still his child, even when you fail him. And so remember that you are holy and beloved. And he tells us to put on these qualities. How about verse 13? We're just going to be looking at the family aspects here. Verse 13. Okay, wow. Look at this. Bearing with one another. Okay, of course this applies to our homes. Of course it applies to our workplaces. But this context here is one another in the family of God. One another. As believers, as a church family, as a Bible fellowship, and even maybe even more, even if you meet together, maybe two or three of you for coffee or for fellowship, you know, it applies to all the different groups as, but look at that, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If any has a complaint against another. So this is, again, the emphasis here on the family. Verse 15. And let the peace of God, there it is, I moved it to this slide and took it off the first slide. We as the church are to let the peace of God rule in y'all's hearts, to which you are also called in one body. See, you are one body. Remember Paul talked about in Corinthians, we're all one body. Christ is the head of our body. He's the head of the church. And we all make up the rest of the body. The fingers and the toes and the feet and the legs and the arms and the lips and the ears. Everybody's got a different part. Paul says you can't have all feet. What kind of body's that? A head with 50 feet. That would be weird. Or a head with a head that had 50 arms going all over the place. That's weird. No, God says I put you all right in that family, right in that body, just as you are. I made you special. Now, you may not be happy with yourself, you say, but you know what? I'm very happy with you. I designed you. I made you. You know, I know a lot of times in my life, there's a lot of times where I felt I wished I was a little bit taller, but then, you know, eventually I just got over it and I, you know, feel fine. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, you think, man, you know, I remember one time when I was standing in the lunch line. This is before I ever met Kelly. And I was standing in the lunch line. And of course, you know, she stood out, you know, she had that long blonde hair and just beautiful, you know, she's 20 years old. And so I'm standing there in the lunch line and there's these three guys in front of me and I just had gotten dumped by my girlfriend, you know, so I was in the Lonely Hearts Club band. And the girl I thought I was going to marry, you know, thank God, God intervened. But anyway, but I'm standing there, and these three guys in front of me said, "Who is that?" And so I'm listening in. "Where? Who's that girl over there?" "Oh, that's Kelly Anderson." "Yeah." And that guy says, "I'm going to date her." And the other guy says, "Nah, you don't stand a chance. She only dates guys that are tall and dark-haired." I didn't say anything, but I was standing there thinking, you know what? I'm toast. I was thinking about maybe doing that, and I'm not going to do that. There's no way. I hate getting turned down. And so then one time, Kelly's older sister's boyfriend, who she eventually married, he was like a friend of mine, you know, in college, and he came to me and said, "Hey, Bob, why don't you date Kelly?" And I said, "Oh, no, I don't think she would do that." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I heard these guys talking. They said she only dates guys that are tall and dark-haired." And I said, "I'm short and brown-haired." And she said, "Oh, she'll do that? She'll date you?" And I said, "Okay, well, you know, find out for me, because I don't want to ask her and get turned down." So sure enough, he came back later. He talked to Kelly's older sister, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" Because, see, you know what happened? I was so smart. I lent Kelly's older sister my 70 Chevelle, my beautiful 70 Chevelle. Bert, you remember those beautiful cars? Oh, man, they were wonderful. But anyway, I lent that car to Kelly and her, or actually to her older sister, but Kelly drove it. That car was cool, Bert, because the steering wheel was only that big on it. No, not a chain. It was that nice thick rubber. Oh, is it so cool? You could go around a corner. You just barely turn that thing. Woo! That car was around the corner. It was awesome. Well, anyway, so they used my car. I would study in the library, and they would take off to go shop. And so that became an advantage when, "Hey, would you be willing to date Bob if he asked you?" "Sure. Yeah, he landed a car." Da, da, da. You know, and so way to go, Bob. Okay, so yeah, it worked out, and we ended up getting married eventually. But anyway, I have no idea where I was going with that. But anyway, it's a nice story. But anyway, all right, one more really quickly here, verse 16. More about being in one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you all, in y'all. Richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in y'all's hearts. Y'all's hearts to the Lord. And whatever you all do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see this, okay? We're going to come back to these verses. But you see this message Paul's given. He says, "Hey, I want you as a family, as the family of God, as a church family, as brothers and sisters. You're all part of the same family, and I want you to wear all these amazing qualities," okay? It's how we are to live in community. This is what we're to put on. So let's quickly go through these. It shouldn't take us very long. This isn't difficult. These aren't difficult passages, but we're going to be reminded. A lot of times we need to be reminded more than we need to be instructed, because I'm sure you've heard things on this before. By the way, Marie, good to see you out there. Hallelujah. Marie first came here to our church 20 years ago, and then she moved out about Illinois. Where else, Marie? Where else did you go? Oh, to Illinois, and you came. Okay, so she's back, though, here in the Dallas area. So we're thankful she was in our Bible fellowship today. So good to see you, Murray. All right, so number one. Okay, we're going to look at four areas here, but not a whole lot to say under any of these, but just some general thoughts about these qualities. Okay, what about number one? Okay, what do we put on? What are these qualities? Okay, well, first of all, Paul talks about how we should treat others. He talks about these qualities, and he says these first qualities have to do with how you treat other people, your spouse, your children, your boss, your co-workers, your church family. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies," okay? Compassion, okay? And you know what? Sometimes we don't have a whole lot of compassion for other people. Like, they may be different from us politically, or they might be different from us racially, or they might be different from us ethnically, or, you know, you get the idea. There's all different things that can divide us. And you know what? And we really need to be people of compassion, even with people that we struggle with. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Kindness. Put on kindness. What is that? That's taking compassion and acting on it. First, the Good Samaritan had compassion. He saw the guy beat up and near dead on the side of the road. That's tender mercies. His heart began to move. Okay? By the way, did you know in the Bible days, they didn't say, I love you with all of my heart. They said, I love you with all of my spleen. They used the word spleen. It was the word that meant like spleen. And that's just the way it was back then. But it was the innermost part of you. And that's really kind of strange to us because, you know, like on Valentine's Day, instead of giving them a card that's shaped like a heart, you get a card that's shaped like a spleen. Oh, thank you, honey. Okay. So, by the way, get me to the doctor. Okay. All right. So anyway, so that's number one. First, he tells us how we should treat others. This is what you need to put on. The compassion is how you feel, but then the kindness is acting on it. Show kindness, okay? And, you know, a lot of times we go around and gripe about other people. Man, they just get to us. Can't do that as God's children. We have to be merciful and kind, okay? So how we should treat others. What about ourselves? How should we conduct our own lives, okay? What quality here has to do with our personal conduct? Well, first, God wants us to be people of humility, humble. Philippians 2:4, you could write that verse down. In lowliness of mind, let each of you regard each other as more important than yourself. Wow. Let each of you regard each other as more important than yourself. Whew. That one verse would go a long way if we just took that and woke up every day and said, hey, I'm going to live this verse out. Man, that would change our lives. Humble. And then meekness. You know what meekness is a word for? It's a word that's like gentleness, okay? Gentleness. Jesus says, I'm meek and lowly of heart. Remember Jesus said that? You'll find rest for your souls because I'm meek and lowly of heart. I have this strength, but it's subdued. I'm strong, but I'm gentle. And man, Jesus was full of grace and truth. He could be strong, full of truth, but he always had grace. Okay, that's number two, how we should conduct ourselves. How about number three? Okay, how we should respond. Now, this is talking about how we respond when we are mistreated. What if your spouse, what if your boss, what if your person in church, they do something and boy, it torques you. It just twists your nose and just hurts you, okay? Now, look, I know in Ridgepoint, no one has ever been hurt and nobody has ever done anything because we're all perfect, okay? I know that. But anyway, this is how we respond. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on long-suffering, okay? This is another thing that we need to be wearing as God's people. That's long suffering. Suffering long. Long, you know what? You have a long fuse. Okay? Things aren't going the way you want. People are mistreating you. And you know what? You just kind of tap, tap, tap. Lord, help me. You've got a long fuse. If you've got a short fuse, you know what that means? Boom! I'll never forget a long time ago when we first came over to this building, man, I'm so glad there were a couple of elders standing there because one of our members just got so mad at me. He was out here, and what it was is the sign out here said Gateway Baptist Church. And so what I did is I got on the computer and I just, and I sent it off to the sign company and I said, here, would you make this sign? I want it teal green. You know, now 23 years ago, that was a really cool color. I think we need to change that out there. We're, Lord willing, getting a new sign before long. But anyway, but this one fella, his fuse blew. He had a short fuse, and he says, you think you're Jesus Christ? man, he yelled, man, and everybody could hear him out here. I forgot what night of the week it was, but there were a couple of elders there. And so, thankfully, God helped me to have long suffering. And I said, hey, man, come on in. Come on and step in and sit down here. And so, interacted with him, and you know what? It got all taken care of. He was just all upset that nobody talked to him about what the sign should look like. I think he wanted Arial font rather than Times New Roman. But anyway, I don't know. But anyway, so long suffering, having a long fuse. You know, like what we bring into our Christian lives is the short fuse. Okay, how about this one? Bearing with one another. You know what that means in modern English? Putting up with one another. Putting up. You know what? Somebody gets you upset in the church, at work, at home, and you know what? Sometimes you just got to roll your eyes. Not don't let them see you do it, but just roll your eyes and just, you know, say, okay, hey, you know what? We'll take care of this, you know, and try to just put up. Sometimes you have to, because people, you know what? Listen, sometimes you're up here and sometimes other people are down here. It happens in marriage, it happens in church, it happens everywhere. And so when that happens, you know, say one person is down here and they're yelling and carrying on about something, then not what you don't want to do is lower yourself and start yelling back. That's no, he says, put up with it. Bearing with one another. How about this one? Oh boy. Forgiving one another. Now, hallelujah, I guess because of my mom, I inherited some genes that were good, and I don't have trouble, like if I drop the ball or if somebody else drops, I don't have trouble forgiving people and just forgetting. And you know what? Thank God after that brain tumor, I don't remember anything, so it comes in real handy. If somebody does something, it's like yesterday, what happened? Oh, I'm so sorry about yesterday. Oh, yeah, what's that? Yesterday, I poked you in both eyes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. But anyway, but my mom was that way, and I think I got some good genes from her. But anyway, but you know what? I've been on planet Earth long enough, and I don't understand it, but I think it's because they got bad genes, and they inherited things from their ancestors, and then they've allowed the devil to use this in their life. But guess what? When somebody does them wrong, let me tell you something. 37 years later, they remember the day. They remember the temperature. I can't remember yesterday's temperature. These people, and they got their arms crossed because they remember what people did to them so long ago, and it just blows me away. I'm just like, I can't relate to you at all. But you know what? That's just life. Some people don't have any problem saying, hey, no problem, we'll go on. And then others, boy, they're like a frozen igloo. You know, if they've let somebody down, you know what, they're never going to come and say, hey, okay, you know what you need to learn, everybody? We all need to learn three phrases. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? It's really hard to walk with God and to have harmony in the home and everywhere in the church, if you struggle doing that. Because like a lot of people, they get mad and they hurt somebody else. And you know what they do is they're just like, everything's frozen. Nobody talks to one another for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. And then finally, all of a sudden, it gets thawed, but it's never resolved really. You know, people just continue to live on. Don't do that. That's not the way that God wants us to live. He wants us to be able to go to other people. If your brother has sinned against you, Jesus said, go to him, your brother or sister, you know, your family member, whoever. Go to that person and tell them. Say, hey, you know what? You know, I was really hurt about this, but, you know, I want you to know I forgive you. And if they do that to you, then you say, hey, you know what? I'm so sorry. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? Those three statements. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Would you forgive me? You know who really struggles doing that? Spouses. They really struggle. I'm not referring to Kelly. I'm just saying that in marriages, that a lot of times husbands and wives have a hard time doing that. And sometimes certain people, because of the way they were brought up, it's impossible nearly. So, but this is the clothing God wants us to wear. whether you struggle with it or not. Okay? So, anyway, you've got to forgive people. You've got to have that spirit in you, the spirit of God. In fact, if you don't, you know what Jesus says? If you don't, you'll be in prison spiritually. You'll be in prison. You'll be in prison. He says, if you can't forgive your brother, he says, the parable, put him in the debtor's prison until he pays all that he owes. And it's a word picture. It's a metaphor for saying, if we have this kind of spirit toward people that have wronged us and we won't forgive them, the parable was, this man was forgiven of a debt of $10 million. And the minute the guy, he was supposed to be thrown in jail, but the king forgave him his debt. As soon as he gets out in the marketplace, he goes and he finds somebody that owes him 10 bucks. And the guy says, well, I can't pay you. And he says, take this guy away, throw him in jail. You know. And then when the king heard about it, he says, no, take this guy and throw him in jail. Let that guy out. You go, you're going to jail until you pay every penny. And so you can't really walk with God if you have unforgiveness. You really can't. It's blocking your fellowship with God. This is one of the most wonderful statements by a human being. I mean, Jesus made the greatest statements on forgiveness, but this one is really wonderful. It's by the great professor and theologian Lewis Smedes. He's in heaven with the Lord now. But this is what he said. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. That is so true. All right. Now, do you want to know what the most important piece of spiritual clothing is to put on? This is more important than all the ones I just talked about. This is the one that God wants you to have more than any other one, and that's this quality, the most important quality, love. But above all these things, verse 14, put on love, which is the bond, the glue, the Greek word for glue, which is the glue of perfection. Or you could say the glue of spiritual maturity. Love is like the glue that holds all these other character qualities together. Remember, Paul says, look, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and he says, I've got all these good qualities, but I don't have love, I'm like somebody with a wooden spoon clanging on the bottom of a pot. That's what our spirituality sounds like to God, what it looks like. Dong, dong, dong. It's horrible. He says, listen, you can have all these wonderful abilities and qualities, but if we don't have Christ-like love. And you say in a nutshell, hey, Pastor Bob, what is that? Is that like how you feel toward another person? How just having wonderful feeling? No, not necessarily. What it means is that you, like I said earlier, Philippians 2:4, you put the other person's needs above your own. Love is doing what's best for the other person. And they're more important to you than you are. You say, you know what? That person's spiritual health, that person's spiritual sanity, that person's spiritual needs are more important than whether I was wronged or not. You know, you get the idea. You're just saying, listen, God's kingdom, child of God, struggling, that's more important that I help them get well than for me to say, yeah, but look what you did to me. Okay, you get the idea. The Christian author Patrick Morley, he said this, the height of our love for God will never exceed the depth of our love for one another. If a man says, John the Apostle said in his letter, if a man says, I love God, but hates his neighbor, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother that he can see, how can he love God whom he cannot see? How can he love God? How can he say, oh, I love God? Well, what about your neighbor? No, you don't really love God. So, because love is loving the other person more than yourself. Okay, so let's tie this all up. You want some boundary markers? We're going to put all of these things that we just talked about, compassion and kindness and forgiveness. Man, there's a lot of them here. So that's why you need to meditate on God's words. You need to look at all these and think about, hey, where am I failing? What all those things I just showed you, what's the one that you have the hardest time with? Is it forgiveness? Is it compassion? Is it kindness? Or maybe you'd say it's all of the above. Letter F, all of the above. Okay. Okay, well, no problem. God loves you. He's going to work with you. He's there to help you. So if we were to draw boundary lines around all these qualities, what are some of these lines, okay? Well, let's just go over these quickly. This is verses 15 through 17, and then we'll be done. One story at the end, and we're done, okay? First thing I want you to see, Paul says, is I want you all to live in harmony with one another, okay? Man, don't go out of those boundaries. If you go out of the boundaries in football, the play's over. He says, this is so important. Harmony. You remember Willy Wonka? Happiness and harmony. You remember that in that movie? Yeah, you get it. All right. So live in harmony with each other. And notice, most people won't misunderstand this verse. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. They think it means this. Oh, I just have wonderful joy and peace inside of me. That's not what this verse means, because that word rule is the word umpire. Let the peace of God umpire in y'all's hearts. Okay, so we're all in the game together, and God's the umpire. And if you don't have peace with one another, if you don't get along, God's like a baseball umpire. You're out! Did I wake you up? Okay. You're out. That's what that word means. God's umpiring, and when you are out of sorts, you don't have peace with one another. Oh, sorry. All that piece of wax was in there. It's finally out. Anyway, so they're over there rubbing their ears. Yeah. Hey, when you're old, you can scream like that, and it sounds like, you're out. That's what it sounds like to us. To you, it's like, oh. Okay, so. Man, you ought to see my grandkids around me, man. They, like, run out of the room with their hands over their ears. They're like, whoop! Pastor Bob's yelling loud, or Pops, I should say. Okay, the peace of God. So that means getting along with the peace between one another. Let it umpire. If it calls you out, if God says, you're out of line, then get back in line. To which you were also called in one body. You're called to get along with one another. Live in harmony. Number two, live in gratitude for each other. Be thankful for one another. You know what? Again, we're not, listen, none of us are perfect. Man, one day, yours truly is going to be down here and you're going to be on top of the mountain. And so, pull me up with you. Help me. Don't look down at me and say, oh man, he's a grump today. Let's help one another, okay? It says, you were called in one body and be thankful. Be thankful, y'all, okay? Number three, let God's word live in you richly, okay? That's what the word dwell means, to be at home. Let the word of Christ be at home in you. Sorry, let the word of God live in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell. Let it be at home, okay? So important is being a person who's allowing God's word, God's message to humanity to transform our lives. Okay, it's like what we just talked about today. All these things. If you hear me speak on these things, everybody, and you see me talk about forgiveness, and you say something like this as you're sitting there, well, that person did me wrong, and I'm never forgiven them. If that's what you're thinking in your brain, then you need to let God's word dwell in you, and you need to let God say, yeah, but child of mine, that's not what I want you to do. You're disobeying me. You see where I'm coming from? Okay, so as you let God's word live at home in the body of Christ, we teach one another. You know, we have our praise and worship music. Now, we not only learn things from the music as we sing about God. A lot of times our songs are out of the book of Psalms, or the concepts are, because that was Israel's hymn book. But look what it says, teaching one another, admonishing. Admonishing means two things. Sometimes it means warning, sometimes it means encouraging. Teaching teach other people how God wants you to be? Warn them if they're getting out of line, you know, pull them aside and just talk to them privately. Say, hey, you know what? I'm really concerned, okay? Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, we do that as we sing our praise and worship. And then it's a singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay? Sing with grace. Be a person of grace. Show grace. Undeserved kindness to other people. When Jesus saved us by grace, he gave us his undeserved favor, his undeserved kindness, and we need to show others that. Okay, that's number three. Let the word of Christ live in you richly. And, you know, these are the takeaways from this message today. How do we apply this? And then, I love the ending here. Do and say everything to honor Christ. Everything you do, everything you say, do it for the glory of God. And whatever you do, you know, this would be a good one to put on your computer where you work, at your workplace. Whatever you do, put it on your dashboard of your car so you read it as you're driving to work. Whatever you do in word, what you say, or deed, what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, wow. What God's basically saying is, oh, by the way, as I'm wrapping up this message to you about what you should wear, here's what I would like you all to do, no matter what you're doing, no matter what you're saying. It has to be to God's glory and honor. Okay, please, please, please. All right, here's the closing story. A brother in Christ whose name is Bill White of Paramount, California, he shared this following story, and he said that during a Saturday afternoon community service day with other church members, he said, I was walking down a narrow street in the city of Compton, California, heading towards one of the work sites sponsored by a local church. So they had all these different churches, and they got together to kind of to build a house or to gut it and to make it beautiful outside and in, all the landscaping, the paint, the, you know, you get the idea. It was towards the end of the workday, and dozens of church volunteers, maybe 50 in all, were streaming out of the site, getting ready to head off to lunch and finishing a complete makeover of a local house. So Bill White said, I was 6 or 8 houses away when I passed a married couple working in their own yard. He said, I paused to compliment the woman on her roses, and she asked me what we were doing down the street. I replied that we represented a band of churches united in our desire to serve our city. Then we continued chatting about the radical neighborhood transformations she had witnessed on the basis of our simple acts of kindness and goodness. She said, man, you guys have really done amazing things around our neighborhood. Well, during my conversation with this woman, Mr. White said, her husband had been weed whacking the other side of the front yard, but when he saw my volunteer shirt, he turned off his weed whacker, set it down on the ground, and he started walking straight towards me and his wife. I will never forget his words. After looking into my eyes, he nodded approvingly toward the renovated house down the street. And then he said this. This is mind-boggling, but this just shows you, if you are the salt and the light, like Jana talked about, this couple, this is what we're talking about. This is what we need. We need this in our lives. We need this in our church. Just everybody, get this. Before we go today, get this. This man that put the weed whacker down, he still has the protective glasses on. He says this. He said, I love your heart. Where can I get a heart like yours? Do you think God wasn't working in that guy's heart already when he saw all these church people around his neighborhood this month, that month, this coming month? So he saw this just over time. Churches, people getting together, doing things sacrificially. And he said, just out of the blue, he says to this guy, he doesn't know, I love your heart. He says, where can I get a heart like yours? And now, Bill White just kind of melts. He's like, he says, flabbergasted. He's like, he wasn't expecting that. He says, I said simply this. We got our hearts from Jesus, and he would be glad to give you one like his too. And Bill White said, before I left, we had a great conversation about the unparalleled gospel of Jesus and his power to change hearts, to change homes, to change neighborhoods, and to change cities. Just before we pray, I just want to remind you of what our Lord said to us. He said, listen, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And you know what, everybody? If we put on, if we take off the old crummy clothes of the old life, the evil, the cussing, the lewdness, being inappropriate, all the, man, the big long list of evil things that we can do as human beings, and we tear off that gross, smelly, spiritual clothing, and we get like our friend Ted Williams did at the beginning, got a nice new suit, got new teeth, got a new hairstyle, new tie. Because why? Because he was a new man. He started to, he got jobs where he's making incredible money using his God-given gift. And not only that, he, like I said, he went and served homeless people, the very group that he came from. He says, I'm no better than you. I just want to be there for you like somebody was there for me. Some guy took a video of me as I was standing on the side of the street panhandling. And the next thing I knew, I've got Good Morning America calling me up. We want you to come and be on our TV show. Wow. And so, folks, we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And you know what? God wants you and I to put on the beauty of Christ. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, letting the word of Christ dwell in us, living in harmony, all those things. That's why you need to let God's word dwell in your mind. Because if you don't, if we don't, if I don't, then you know what? We don't have that supernatural work of God in our life. And we won't have it in our church, and we won't have it in our city, in our neighborhood, and so on and so forth. So it's so important. God's word, boy, just, and of course, above all these things, we've been talking about all the other things to put on, but above all these things, put on love, where other people around you are more important than you. So important. Man, how we need this. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this simple and yet, Lord, so important, so radical, Lord, passage of Scripture. Because the Lord, but the world, they hunger for it, but they don't understand how to do it and how to get it and how to get a heart like yours. And Lord, they need us to be at the top of our game. They need us to be spiritual, loving, kind, compassionate. And Lord, forgive us because so often we're not, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. God, you love this flock. You love these people, Lord. Every one of them is precious to you. And Lord, how you want to flow through them and use them day in and day out. And so, Lord, I just pray your blessings down on them, Lord. Some of them maybe just be going through such a difficult time right now that nobody even really knows it. Give them extra special grace, Lord. And Lord, of course, if anyone's listening or anyone's here that's not 100% sure that they're going to be with you forever and ever, Lord, let them call our church tonight and leave a message and just say, my name's so-and-so, and could you have somebody call me? Can you have Pastor Bob call me and tell me how I can nail it down and know that I'm going to be with Jesus forever when I die? I don't want to leave earth without him. I don't want to leave earth without Jesus. I want to be sure everything between God and me is on the up and up, is fine. There's nothing between us. And so, Lord, I just pray for any of those who are maybe tuning in today, Lord, and they're not 100% sure. God, let them know that. That's what we're here for, is to share good news, Lord. And so help us, dear Father. And Lord, again, this week, help us to go out as your ambassadors, to go out and be your witnesses, Lord. Use us and glorify your name, Father. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, thank you, everyone, and thank you all of you that tuned in through our live stream. Have a great week. Thank you.